A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. Everyone, Melissa has been so hard at work for, I feel like it's about 2 weeks because we've had this planned for a little while. And she put...
I wrote down, I am so excited in my notes.
There you go. She's excited, but let me tell you that she worked a full-time job on this case and laying it out the way that it is. So I have no idea.
I wrote that too.
No.
I'm excited.
No idea about any of this. She has totally just blown this up, so I have no doubt she's going to deliver a really great story this week.
I actually thought about social mediaing that I'm so excited to record this, but then I was like, if this sucks, I'm going to be so disappointed. But I can't. I have literally two theses written for you.
Yep, you do. I see it, everybody.
All right, so you Patreon people are going to get a little bit of a surprise. Today, we're going to drop an episode just like you're normally here, and tomorrow you're going to get your Patreon episode, which is essentially the second part of this episode, and you'll understand when to dive in. I have followed this case as it happens a little bit, and recently my husband and I decided we're going to get out and get some fresh air and get into the mountains, right? Because COVID can't do anything fun. So part of the trip, he was like, let's do the Bourbon Trail in Kentucky. And he was real excited about one of the distilleries, and I'm not a bourbon drinker, so I was like, cool. And he was like, it's in Bardstown. And I was like, Bardstown? And he was like, what? And I was like, I'm so excited. And he was like, great. What murder happened there? Which, you know, he knows me. So I texted Amy, I'm going to friggin' Bardstown. And she literally was like, I have no idea what that means. And I was like, do not Google.
Yeah, I'm thinking this whole time this is like a Halloween place or like...
Guys.
I don't know.
So I was like, don't Google anything. I'm going to do this. So here's how this is going to play out. Today you're going to get the missing persons case, which is Crystal Rogers. And the case that's related to it. Which that's what we'll do. I think that can be treated as a standalone case. Then we'll theorize that. Then I want to present the rest of it on Patreon. Because they aren't missing. So that's a Patreon case. So I don't want to say a whole lot here. But don't worry for you people that aren't Patreon. You'll get some of it anyway. So are you ready?
I can't be any more ready for this. I've been waiting days. Okay.
Let's start with Bardstown, Kentucky, okay? It's a population of 14,000, which is actually the same size of the town you live in.
Because we've been through this.
Yeah, so just for perspective, it's a small town with a small town feel. It actually, in 2012, it won the most beautiful small town in America.
Aw, that's dainty and cute.
It is super cute, and I will say, like, we went out there, we did three of the distilleries. It's beautiful. It's like in the hills of Kentucky. It's super quaint.
Let me also just say really quickly, like, we're totally armchair detectives, but you've taken it upon yourself now to visit two places in which two of our cases have been or take place, rather. So
yes,
props to you for that.
You should agree I did it on purpose. This, my husband was like, let's go to Bardstown. And I was like, oh my goodness. Either way. Okay. So it has a super homey feel. It has a, like, everyone knows everyone kind of feeling to it. So let's get into Crystal Rogers. Crystal comes from a super close family. Mom Sherry, dad Tommy, and two siblings. Crystal has four kids from her first relationship and had gotten divorced and moved on with her life. So she started dating a new guy in, well, not a new guy in town, but she started dating a new guy from town, Brooks Houck.
Okay.
They dated for a while, and they had another child. I believe it was in 2013. He was about 2.5 when Crystal disappeared. So based on that math, he was about 2013. Now, July 3rd, 2015 was a pretty normal day. Crystal went to Walmart. She, you know, just ran errands normal.
Mm-hmm.
July 4th, Brooks wakes up with his son Eli in bed with him. No Crystal. He gives her cell phone a call, and she doesn't answer. So he heads off to the family 4th of July party.
Okay.
Now, simultaneously, Crystal's oldest is trying to get a hold of her, too. And she calls Crystal's mom to be like, hey, Grandma, I can't find my mom. So Crystal, obviously, is super involved in her family. She always calls people back. She's not calling anyone back. July 5th, when no one has heard from her, they're going to go to the police. Her mom says that she ran into Brooks in a parking lot on the way to the police station. Like, she stopped and saw him and was like, hey, where's Crystal?
Yeah.
And he was like, I haven't seen her. And her mom was like, I'm going to head down and file a missing persons report. And he was like, okay.
Reasonable.
So that was the end of it. Now, as they're at the sheriff's office reporting her missing, her brother gets a call that was Crystal's ex-husband's son. Okay, so he's like tangentially related, but he's not even in the story again. He just is the person. He's driving on the Bluegrass Parkway and sees her car on the side of the road.
Okay.
Law enforcement looks at her brother, again, a small town. Jump in, we'll take a ride down there. We'll go see if it's her car. It is her car with a flat tire.
Hmm.
Inside it are her purse, her keys, and her cell phone.
Okay.
That was July 5th. Nothing. Crickets for a few days. July 8th, her boyfriend is finally, like, officially interviewed with police. Comes in, does the interview, all the things. He says that when they had disagreements, it wasn't abnormal for Crystal to go to her cousin's house. So he thought that that's where she could have gone. They ate dinner that night, and they took a ride out to the family farm to feed some cows. They had their 2.5-year-old with them. This is around 10 p.m. They hung out at the farm, fed the cows, had a fire, went for a walk, and then headed home around midnight.
Okay.
Brooks and their son went right to bed, while Crystal was on the couch, like, playing a game on her phone.
Sounds normal.
I do want to point out at this point that Brooks' brother, it's a small town. His brother Nick is a Bardstown police officer. But Bardstown is not the one handling Crystal's disappearance. Nelson County Sheriff is handling it. Because Crystal actually lived right outside of city limits. It's one of those, like, you know.
Yeah, we dealt with this with Anon and the Baltimore City PD, Baltimore County. Yeah.
Exactly. Brooks goes in, tells the sheriff's office his whole story. He's saying things like, I don't need an attorney. I'm good. I haven't asked for one. I'm willing to talk to y'all. You know, all being super cooperative.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I want you to listen to, and we'll drop it here. One time, because it's already going to be a long episode. The police interrogation when Brooks gets a phone call. Well, then something fun happens. While Brooks is being interviewed by Nelson County, his phone rings. Listen to Brooks' end of the call. We'll drop it for you guys here, too.
Can I get there?
Sure, please.
Yes. Hello?
No.
I'm up here. I know that you didn't know. I'm up here in this interview with the detective, Detective Snow. I've been up here a good little while. I'm filling out this this statement here and everything. Do, are you telling me that's what I need to do? I know that. But the way that I look at it is, I'm innocent. I ain't done nothing wrong. Well, you know, I know you told me innocent people have got jammed up. But if you're telling me to leave, I'll get up and leave. If you want me to. I know I'm going through a lot, but I'm trying to get this guy to help me. I don't think she's ran off with some other guy. I don't believe that. You can't make me think that. No. Yeah, so do I. I'll do exactly what you're telling me to do right now. Do you want me to get up and leave? Man, I don't think these people have got a vindictive just to skin me for no reason. Man, this is not their family. This is not.
Okay, so you listen to the call. First of all, what are your thoughts, first of all?
On his end, honestly, like, it seems innocent enough. He didn't say anything that stood out to me. It seemed like he would, up until that point, he was cooperative, and then whatever was said was scary and put him on edge.
Do you want to know who that call was?
Well, I assume it's his brother, who's the PD.
Yep. So at this point, Nelson's County Sheriff, well, first of all, just so you know, a lot of people think that call is staged.
Well,
because he's like, I'm just up here doing an interview.
I didn't wonder if it was staged directly, but I wondered if he faked the phone call and if he just took a chance that no one would check his records.
Oh, no, it was his brother that called him. We don't know what his brother said, but a lot of people say that, like, it was, like, planned.
Gotcha.
Anyway, Nelson's County Sheriff is pissed that a Bardstown cop just got involved and hindered their investigation.
Sure.
So they call up Nick themselves, and they're like, basically like, hey, buddy, law enforcement to law enforcement, will you come on down and, like, have a conversation with us?
Uh-huh.
Nick straight up says no.
Okay.
And he goes, the sheriff kind of goes, so you're not going to come down here and talk to me? And he was like, nope.
Huh.
So the same day, small town, people find out things.
Sure.
Crystal's family finds out that Brooks is no longer, like, being super cooperative. So they say, well, you're not taking it seriously enough. Like, you're not being whatever. So they get him to agree to an interview with Nancy Grace.
Oh, this is what you were telling me the other day.
I can't, y'all, I listened to so many Nancy Grace interviews because she did cover this case a lot. He does admit that his relationship was stressed with Crystal, whatever that means. But he says, like, four or five times, I am 100% innocent, which, cool. But he also says it's really important for me to clear my name and to keep my name clear and all that. And my attitude is it not more important to, like, find your son's mother?
Fair.
Now, in the meantime, the Bardstown police captain calls Nick, and he basically orders him to go talk to Nelson County Sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, you're in law enforcement. Like, you need to do the right
thing.
Be
a role model.
Exactly. At the same time, Crystal's dad, Tommy, kicks off his own investigation. And they showed him the amount of evidence he collected on the Oxygen series, and good for him. He had boxes of witness statements, and, like, he was in it.
Dedication. That's love.
Seriously. I mean, I assume it's, I mean, it's his daughter, you know? Sure. That all happened. Nancy Grace and the dad investigation and being Nick ordered to talk all happened on July 9th. July 10th, based on what happened with Nick and the Brooks, they search one of the Houck's family farms, which is where Crystal was last seen alive by Brooks, right? They went to the farm to feed the cows. They don't find anything.
Yep.
But they want to, you know, dot their I's, cross their T's. July 24th, so 2 weeks later, Nick takes a polygraph test administered by the FBI. They opt to not have Kentucky State Police or Bardstown do it or Nelson County Sheriff. They have the FBI do it so there's no potential conflict of interest.
Wise.
And he fails.
Oh, boy.
6 weeks later, Nick is suspended from Bardstown PD. The sheriff, who I love, said, Nick injected himself into the investigation in a way I didn't like. Ethics and integrity are sometimes all we have, and he didn't display a good example of either.
Got it.
Then he went on to say, I expect, demand, and will accept nothing less than ethical, professional, proactive officers on this department. The difficult task of firing an officer will always weigh heavy. I will not hesitate to remove one if our profession, our badge, our oath, and affirmation are tarnished.
Yes, I agree with that.
30 days later, Nick is fired.
Wow.
For interfering with the investigation. On the same day, Nelson County Sheriff held a press conference and says, we are now naming Brooks Houck as a suspect.
Whew, this escalated fast.
Well, yeah, but don't get excited. We only talk about unsolved cases here, pal.
Fair.
All right. December 16th. So now we're, you know, 5 months later. We get a huge surprise. There's an announcement of an arrest in Crystal's case. Danny Singleton, who is Brooks's right-hand man and employee, is arrested with 38 counts of false swearing and lying under oath. He pleads guilty and goes to jail for 6 months, and that's the end of it.
How could that be the end of it?
Amy?
How do you...
We don't know.
We know what you said was false, but we don't pursue it?
Well, they did. They put him in jail.
Yeah, and then you don't re-interview him?
I mean, I don't know how that works.
Okay.
In early 2016, a white Chevy Impala becomes a point of interest. Police say they have been reported that it was on the farm that Crystal was last at the night of July 3rd. Well, wouldn't you know it, Nick and Brooks's grandma, she's 82, she drives a white Impala.
Oh, no.
So they go to search it. Dang it, she sold it.
Really?
Yep. On June 1st, 2016, they bring in the 82-year-old grandma, Anna.
Oh, my goodness.
For some interviews. They actually subpoenaed her because she refused to interview because she's 82.
Wait,
don't worry.
Did she refuse to interview because she's 82 or she's just stubborn?
I think she was just, like, stubborn. Yeah, I think she was just stubborn and was like, no. So they subpoenaed her. And at the hearing, she invoked her Fifth Amendment right.
That's not stubborn, Grandma. That's knowing what you're doing.
I would agree with you there. Now, I want you to remember, Crystal's dad is still poking the bear and asking all the questions. He's trying to track down this Impala. He's essentially running his own investigation.
Can I just say this for 1 second?
Yeah.
I'm like a volcano. I just can't keep it in. There is no one on earth I would protect if I knew that they had harmed someone.
I agreed 100%.
And I know that's probably debatable. It's like, wouldn't you protect your children? Like, if you knew that... No.
I would get them a great lawyer, but nope.
I can't live with my son or daughter or whoever knowing that they could do it to somebody else, knowing that some family is in pain. I'm sorry.
Well, hold on. Nick and Brooks are to this day never had any charges, so they could be innocent.
I'm just saying, while we're on the topic of holding secrets or protecting our loved ones, yeah, I'm going to protect my loved ones, my innocent loved ones. But if you harm another human being...
That's on you?
Yeah, kind of. I can't let you do it to somebody else. Anyway, that's it.
So, back to the story. A month later, Crystal Rogers' parents file for custody of their youngest grandson. They already had custody of her other kids, but they want the one that she shares with Brooks. And they actually are not granted it because Brooks has never actually been in trouble. And the judge says their relationship with Brooks is so contentious because they are constantly saying he did it. And in one of the interviews I listened to, and I listened to a ton, at one point their son came home from a visit with them and asked Brooks, like, what he did to his mommy.
Oh.
And, yeah. And basically Crystal's parents were like, unfortunately, we have to fight for our daughter, so we have to give up that fight.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, August 30th, 2016, we're a year after, police now do another search. They search a different farm belonging to Brooks and Nick's mom. They also search the homes of Nick and Anna, the 82-year-old grandma.
Yep.
No anything. No evidence has turned up. Nelson County Sheriff is basically trying to kick over any rock they can legally, right? They're trying to do all the right things. Crystal's family is sort of forced to try to investigate her disappearance while moving on with their life. You know, they have other children, they have grandchildren, they have her children now. So they're trying to, you know, maintain some semblance of normalcy,
yeah.
Right? Crystal's dad decides the morning of November, well, he probably planned it before, but either way, the morning of November 19th, 2016, he's going to take his grandson hunting on family property.
Please.
So they go out hunting on family land. They barely have walked into the woods when a single shot runs out and hits Crystal's dad in the chest.
Get out of town. I knew this was heading towards something bad.
He is killed. Nelson County Sheriff's, Kentucky State Police, and Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife all were on scene pretty quickly. Basically, what they say is it's a death investigation. They won't call it a hunting accident, and they won't call it a murder.
Stop.
They've released only a few details, but they indicate the shooter was likely hidden in a tree line on the Bluegrass Parkway. It appears that it was a targeted assassination, but police won't actually say that. They just say things like, there was precision, there was one shot.
These poor children, all of them.
So that happens in November 19th, 2016. July of 2017. Police again search the home of Anna Whitesides, the 82-year-old grandma. Then, are you ready to get mad?
I'm already pretty mad.
Okay, well, don't worry. Brooks has a new girlfriend by now.
Yep.
Her name is Crystal, by the way.
Stop it.
No, for real.
Huh.
Police make an arrest of this girl, Crystal, for theft of unlawful taking. Because she was caught on camera ripping down signs and shredding them that say standing with the Ballard family.
That's disgusting.
Another fun fact, in 2019, Brooks was a home builder and one of the houses he was building burned down. It was definitely arson. It could have been a disgruntled employee, but it was arson.
What is happening?
So now it's been 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Nothing with Crystal. July 23rd, 2020.
Oh, hi, a few months ago.
Yep. A property owner calls Nelson County Sheriff and they say, I found human remains on my property.
Oh. my God. Can you imagine, by the way?
No, I can't. Again, like you said in the H3 case, like, I'd have duct tape up. I'd be like, I don't even know. On the next day, Nelson County Sheriff requests the FBI to come in and do the crime scene. They pretty quickly realize that, like, if this is Crystal, like, they need to have some sort of, they need to not be the investigating agency.
Oh, I see. Make sure that it's...
because of Nick and... yeah, exactly. So, they recover the remains and sent them to Quantico, Virginia, which is the largest forensic lab in the world.
Mm-hmm. Pretty important.
The FBI has released one update on the remains. Are you ready for this? This is the update.
It's not her.
It's likely a woman. She could be 24 to 82 years old and between 5'2" and 5'9".
So this could be almost anybody at all that's a female and not a small child. There's your pool. Yeah.
Exactly. By the way, there are 265 people reported missing in Kentucky right now. So, you know, it's not like there are five.
That's just reported missing, too.
And I'll just tell you now, we have no update on that body. Still. It's been 3 months, and we have no...
anything. They probably know more information, but...
okay, but here's my thing. If they know if it is her or isn't her...
I know where you're going with this. If it wasn't her, they would say it's not her. They would say...
and if it was her, they'd tell her family.
Right, fair.
August 6th, 2020... the FBI announces it is taking over the entire case and will accept assistance from Kentucky State Police and the U.S. Attorney's Office from the Western District of Kentucky. They roll into town with 9 federal warrants over 2 days at 3 sites owned by Brooks Houck. 100-something officers showed up.
Okay.
Like, they just, like, descended on Bardstown. And they did it all simultaneously. All the things happened at the same time. Which, is to me, is one of those moments.
I can't imagine that coming to my small town. I can't.
But it's like one of those moments where you're like, yeah, get them, you know? They were searching Brooke's house and Nick's house and all the things.
But I have a feeling that this isn't going to end how we want it to at this point. Keep going.
Well, that's it.
Right. That's how that always goes.
I was waiting for you to say keep going.
Well, honestly, when you get to August of 2020, I don't know what could have happened in 2 months that would have made a tremendous deal, especially since I know we talk about unsolved cases. So I'm not completely naive. I knew where this was going.
I just appreciated your look when I was like, but that's it.
I mean, you really brought it to a head at the end. So, yes, I was expecting something half-half.
Okay, so, well, first of all, tell me your thoughts first.
I'm overwhelmed. My first thought goes to tell me more about their relationship. You don't go from having some disagreements to murder.
Agreed, and we don't know a whole lot. I mean, so I will say there's an Oxygen series out there, and it's like, 6 episodes, and I don't like documentaries where I know from the jump what your approach is.
Fair.
And I know pretty quick from the jump that their approach is the police botched this whole investigation, and we could have arrested someone by now, and we didn't.
Yes.
Okay.
So I love Oxygen for covering these cases as in the spirit of what we do, like, lesser known. However, it is entertainment, you know? So if you've, for example, seen the Maura Murray case, they made a lot of dramatic, catchy trailers, you know, to draw an audience in. In reality, like, at the end of the day, we're nowhere closer to finding Maura Murray. So...
Exactly. And I'll say this. It's very clear that Crystal's family thinks Brooks did it or Nick did it. And the documentary is very focused on that. So, I mean, it's just really one of those, like, it's him. That's it. Done.
Yeah, I would like to hear some theories on a motive to...
Right.
To convince me some more. Yes, there's a lot of shady things. So going back to your original question, like, what do I think? My next thought is what do you think the motive is? But then I also wonder, you know, what was going on for her as an individual in her life? And no, do I think she walked away from her life? No, I don't think that's it at all, unless that's a theory.
Do you think her dad was murdered or was it a hunting accident? And if he was murdered, was it related?
Whoa, you're jumping right then.
I know. Well, for me, that has to get answered together. You know, like, if I think Crystal met foul play, I think her dad... So back up. If I think her dad was murdered, I think that it is involved with Crystal. If I think it was a hunting accident, I can completely remove it and anything stemming from that.
Yes, but I think if they are related and it was, in fact, murder... then it would be more likely to be Brooks and Nick because that is who Crystal's dad was quote unquote targeting as a suspect.
Well, sure, but they also were, and I mean, Nick failed the polygraph and Brooks was inconclusive, but there's no evidence anywhere. There's no... We can say all day they look bad and, you know, it's not looking good for them, and that's fine. But here we are 5 years later, and police have executed, you know, it's got to be upwards of 12, a dozen search warrants on the Houck family and have uncovered zero.
Yes.
So could it be that they got tunnel vision and we're missing something huge?
It could be. It could be. And that's where my next question is, what was going on for Crystal as an individual woman, not as a woman in a relationship, possibly having disagreements? You know, did she have drama with friends? Did she meet with some random foul play?
Now, I will say there supposedly is a gang in the area. I don't know how serious that is. I will say there is a drug ring in that area. There's no evidence that Crystal was involved in any of that, but like, could she have been wrong place, wrong time? Her car was on the side of the highway with a nail in it, which if she got out, I don't know why she wouldn't have called someone. But
well, if you think that it was gang activity or something random like that, then we would have to believe Brooks's account of them getting home, him and the baby going to bed, and her staying up. Therefore, someone would have had to lure her from her home or take her from her home without harming anybody else, right?
Yeah. And I would assume they went through her phone.
Yes, I would definitely assume that that happened.
Since they have it.
So I don't think that's as likely. And I'm not even pointing.
So you don't think she left the house
at Brooks or Nick? I'm just saying that in order to believe Brooks's story, or in order to believe that she met with that foul play, you would have to believe Brooks's story.
Well, I'm not willing to give Brooks that. I'm not willing to say I believe him yet.
Well, neither am I, but I'm definitely trying to run a scenario by you where he is completely truthful and honest. And so far, it's not fitting too well, right?
Right. No, I agree. Now, but my question kind of goes to, when you're researching it, right, it's very obvious that everyone thinks Brooke did it. I question the motive like you are. Why? So is it possible that Brooks didn't do it? However, Nick is involved somehow and they covered it up.
Is it possible? Sure, stranger things have happened, but I need more than that.
I mean, I do too, but I struggle with the fact that Nick is law enforcement and refuses to interview. You know, I struggle with the fact that he is, like I said, has a badge and stops the interview.
He could be tainted from his own line of work where he maybe was a dirty cop and did corner someone for little evidence.
It's interesting you bring that up because, and we'll get into it more later, but there is a conspiracy that there were dirty cops in the department.
Because I could see him being like, I know how this game is played and I'm not talking. And as an officer, you know that evidence is everything. So by him not talking, sure, it looks bad, but he knows if he didn't do it that there's no evidence or if he's not involved.
Okay, but if you're innocent and you're law enforcement, you don't think that you can go and have that conversation? Like, I just don't know why you avoid the conversation if you literally have nothing to hide.
Because he might have the mindset where the husband is always the one that does it, and I'm not getting involved in this.
And that's fair. And I will say, in one of Nick's interviews, police asked him what he did after he called his brother at the police station. Yep. And he was like, I don't know. And he's like, I don't remember, you know. And the cop goes, well, we have surveillance footage of you and your brother headed out to your grandmother's farm after that.
Yep.
And he was like, I don't remember that, whatever. And I wanted to be like, dude, all you had to say in that moment was, yeah, my brother was upset. He's going through a lot. We took a ride out to my family property, had a fire, and hung out. Why are you being evasive and being like, I don't know?
On the other hand, it could be sheer panic, like, of being railroaded.
But Amy, he's law enforcement. But he's law enforcement. I don't know.
For once, I'm playing
devil's
advocate.
I just can't understand.
The last couple of episodes, I've been really needing someone to talk me away from that tunnel vision.
I think the Houck family looks really bad, right? I do. I just can't understand why it happened.
Correct.
And I don't mean like why, like, people kill for no reason at all. Fine. But I mean, it doesn't seem like there was even a situation that could have occurred. I will say they asked Brooks who made dinner that night, and he's like, yeah, it wasn't, I don't know, Crystal didn't cook, whatever. It wasn't anything I remember. It was some so, like, you know, no big deal. And, you know, one of the experts, the statement analysis experts, basically makes the point that, like, that's the last meal you had with your significant other, and you don't look back and remember what it was like.
I have to say that's true.
What? That he should know?
I recently had a loss in my family, and
right,
I can remember the last thing that they were wearing. I can remember the last things that I said. So
I agree with you.
I can remember meaningless things about the room we were in, like the way the light shined in or if the curtain was half up or half down. And I could go on and on, but I won't. But I'm just saying that insignificant details become very vivid and significant when you're looking back to the last moments that you've had with a person. And it's beyond the person. It's the scenery. It's people remember the temperature and the weather and what time the sun went down and so on and so forth. So I absolutely agree with you on that.
So let me go back to my first question.
My significant other probably would not be able to identify what I'm wearing. So.
Okay, well, let me go back to my first question. Do you think her father's death was a murder or an accident? Let's start with that.
Well,
I have an opinion on this one.
I have a family that is very involved and very experienced hunters, and they're very careful. I find it hard to believe that the instant that this guy is entering an area for hunting, that he would have been killed right in the chest. You know, perfect aim. It can happen. Hunting accidents are a real thing. Do you remember Dick Cheney? Wasn't he shot?
Mm-hmm.
Although, well, never mind.
Amy.
But I have a gut feeling that there's more to that. But you have
I straight
to
up
be
think it was
so
murder.
Messed up to do that in front of a child.
So I think it was murder. Straight up murder. And I think that it had to do with his investigation into Crystal.
Sure, someone felt threatened.
That's what I think. And the biggest solution was just take him out. I don't really understand it, but I go back to Crystal and I say, as much as I, not that I want Brooks to have done it, right? But as much as like it makes sense to say it's Brooks, I just can't connect him. Yeah, it looks super weird. They went out to the farm at like 10 p.m. with their two-year-old. I mean, two-year-olds go to bed, don't they? I don't know. I don't have a two-year-old, but I'm just saying. Too. You know, and Nancy Grace makes that point too, just so it wasn't my own idea. She says it was like the witching hour. She's like, it would be hell to have my child up at 10:30, 11 p.m. at 2.
That's not...
I don't know.
That's inaccurate. I mean, have you ever been in a Target or a Walmart at 9 o'clock at night and seen children?
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are tantruming, sure, but some of them are happy as clams to not be sleeping.
Right. I've been to Disney World, and my two-year-old niece at Disney was up till 11 p.m., and at the end of the night was really, really grouchy, but survived.
I just can't put too much weight into that.
I hear you. But then my question is, if they went out there, and that's where he killed her, right? That's what we're going to say. How is there no evidence, and where is she now? Do we think that body is her? If it is her, why have we no identification? And if it's her, is someone freaking out? Because whoever did this, if it's her or if it isn't her, whoever did this knows if that body is her or not.
Okay.
Well, think about it. If I kill someone and I bury them in Raleigh, North Carolina, and they find a body in Chapel Hill, right? It's not the same place. I'm not worried. It's not the body I killed. Right. Now, if I had a body on Main Street in Raleigh, which isn't even real, I'm just using a street, and they find a body on Main Street in Raleigh, I'm suddenly panicking, right?
Yeah.
So whoever did this knows if it's her or not.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
I don't know what my point is behind that, but...
Well, I just couldn't help but to think of Scott Peterson, who we controversially, not popular opinion, do wonder about his innocence. At a bare minimum, we agree, you and I, that he did not have a fair trial.
100%.
It looked really, really bad. Like, it looks bad for him, right? Until you really start to dig in and you're like, sure, yeah, still looks bad, but he was really persecuted by the media. How do we know that this isn't something right. like that?
And I will say that Brooks is definitely getting annihilated by the media. Now, you can't make up the fact that his brother failed the polygraph and his brother interrupted the police thing. But in my opinion, Nick looks worse than Brooks does.
This actually has a lot in common in the players, in the multiple family members realm as Josh Powell. If you remember his dad and his brother being
I'm about to insult
key
you.
Players.
I'm about to insult you. Nancy Grace drew the same parallel. So your mind... And Nancy Grace's mind worked the same.
But I would not go that far. It would not go that far. But I will say it's easy to see the parallels. You know, the dad ended up dying. I believe it was pretty much natural causes, but he was very suspicious. So,
okay.
I don't know.
So I want to like try to... put a bow on this a little bit. Do we agree that her dad was murdered?
I feel comfortable with that. It seems really
off. Do we agree that it's probably linked to her?
Oh, yeah. If that was murder, which I do think it is, yes, 100% linked to her.
Okay. We just can't connect her to Brooks, right?
there's no physical evidence, no. And at that, there's
And there's no even really anything.
Right.
I just want to point it out here now that there is the conspiracy that there is a subset of police officers that are dirty. Okay? Now, is it possible that Crystal was going to expose Nick for being dirty?
How would she have that much information about him being dirty?
I don't know. I'm just asking you.
I don't know. That's a reach.
Okay. All right. So we're going to wrap it up with saying we don't know what happened to Crystal. We are not fully on the Brooks train, right? We are not fully on the Brooks train, although he does look bad. But in both of our opinions, I think Nick looks worse than he does.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Now, would any of this change your mind?
Stop.
If I told you in this small town of Bardstown, every year from 2013 to 2016, there was a murder.
100%. If this is the same size as my town...
There is. It is.
One elementary school, one middle school, and so on. That small. If there was a murder here every year, you can bet people would be super alarmed.
Okay. So we're going to end the Crystal Rogers case here. Here's how it'll work. For Patreon, we're going to go on to Patreon and drop the episode on Bardstown, Is It a Conspiracy? We'll work through the other cases. However, for you not Patreon people, we will drop a 2 or 3 minute bonus here that'll tell you if we agree that it's a conspiracy or not. You'll get the short condensed, yes, we think it is, or no, we think it isn't. So, we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
Thanks, Melissa.
Bye.
Information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.